Live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's the Zach Ballinger Show, where we help you find your direction through passion and purpose. My name is Zach Ballinger. I am your host. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Two ways you can get involved with the show. We are streaming live via YouTube. So if you're out there and you have questions, pop them into the comment box. We'll make sure to get to them. You guys can always pre-email me, Zach@ZachBallinger.com. If you have any questions for me and my upcoming guests, please feel free to email them. We'll make sure to ask them on the show. Without further ado, Steve, thank you so much for joining the show today.
You're welcome, Zach. It's a pleasure.
So I'm going to ask you what you do career-wise. It may give it away the background, but I think that adds to it. Kind of cool. So what is your exact career?
Well, it's putting bread on the table through tailoring. Initially was tailoring, and it was ironic, but everyone has their own definition of a tailor, so you have to appease what that definition to make a living for the first 5 or 10 years. And I found it challenging and very satisfying at the same time to virtually do a community service in this old profession. And people would come in for alterations, and myself and my Vietnamese tailor would do the heavy lifting, and I would see that the client was satisfied and the communication was right. And one thing led to another, and they'd be ordering made-to-measure garments. And in the old days, I was actually designing and cutting garments for wholesale. But I got into actually cutting men's suits in 1978. And that was really getting into the old world, the Savile Row that has the great myth about it. And so up until about 3 or 4 years ago, I was actually making patterns for different clients. And I discovered that that's a good practice, but it's not the important role model, a business model, if tailoring design is going to come back, if proper fitting garments is going to really be appreciated. So I started working on a course book called The Philosophy of Fit. And it's essentially, when a tailor takes a flat piece of cloth, he's cutting it to the shape of someone's body, so it's close and comfortable. It's the ideal to have a sculpted garment using wool, because wool reacts to the heat and pressure of the body. And in the old days, this was absolute value, because arguably anything that cannot be improved is the world's best. So it's up to your dignity to get a cloth that works for you, that's not for somebody else, that it's going to make a difference. So it's fascinating. It's one of the few types of products that should be democratized, or that can be one of the world's best products for you. It's because it's custom. It's one of a kind. So, and apparently, according to two American authors, John Nesbitt and Faith Popcorn, the custom business is designated to be part of the 21st century. Just because with the advent of manufacturing, and now with globalization — they weren't counting on this when they wrote the book in the 80s, but with globalization, there's so much cheap mass product out there that, and even coming out of the pandemic, you know, we're resetting our values, and we're looking, you know, we've had a quasi existential experience, you know, where people that you see on a daily basis might know someone that got the virus and didn't make it. And so, you know, it's been touted to be a type of warfare. For better or worse, it's like war, because a lot of people succumb to it. And because everyone's energy was directed towards the war, whether it was, you know, the virologists or the medical or the institutions that had to organize. It was essentially like a war because all of the energy that went into it. But as we come out of that, you know, there's a real opportunity to take life a little differently. And, you know, especially with the online training, there's a great momentum in this direction. And it's going to take some people that are, you know, like themselves enough to develop new habits, good habits. And I'm keyed in on training online and offering a weekly webinar and kind of a forum for, you know, these graduate or these students and graduates to have their own income through, not through cutting and fitting and all the, what I've been through, but just through what I call designer measurements and a good work ethic and practices that I have done and that other designers have done, so that we can add this product as a value in the 21st century. And the values are much more than material. It's about survival of the spirit just as much and taking care of your body. So when you make an investment in a garment, you're not about to go neurotic at the dinner table or in the fridge. You're going to be a little more prudent about your weight and your pride. And I think this is a very healthy thing for, you know, for the West, because the West has been fairly lucrative, you know, the last 30, 40 years, not like China that's been through, you know, starvation and all sorts of events. The West is probably a little, well, it's actually a fact that diabetes and pre-diabetes is become a disease now, because so many carbs in the food that keeps it from going bad. And you know what they say, when you're grocery shopping, you should go around the perimeter of the market where everything's fresh and not the canned stuff. And this has become a big problem, is giving people, allowing men in particular to make a commitment to their bodies, the waistline, and to the kind of body they want to have. And this is what I do and what I'll train my students to do, is if a guy is in, or a woman is in process of weightlifting or weight losing, that we can show them how they will look, and they just have to grow into the garment. They might not be able to button up at the waist, but their chest will be fuller. And so it's a form of bodybuilding in a way, and giving men and women a pride that they're that they can go farther and do more with.
What do you enjoy about being a tailor? What's kind of your passionate?
Well, it's creating something unique is very personal for my clients. It might look run of the mill, but they know it's unique because it fits better than anything they've tried on the rack. And it's, certainly it's more comfortable. So for me, it's great to, each client is different. It's you know, an opportunity to take care of them and have them come back. That's kind of where I am now, as I'm kind of semi-retired on my old clients. So it's pretty nice lifestyle. You know, I can work out of my home. They come to see me. And it's clean. It's, you know, like a lot of jobs aren't that clean.
But, yeah. And you already talked kind of about some of the challenges, you know, just with the virus and everything like that. So you know, with the job, but I wanted to ask you more. What does a typical day look like? So let's say that someone was going to follow you around and they wanted to know what, you know, they got there in the morning and they left at night. What does that look like?
Well, it's kind of counterintuitive for me because I have a work live studio. So, I read a story about Picasso and he had the same situation. He had a low overhead and he was artistic and he could choose his patrons. So I have a similar setup. I got to invest in a work live studio in downtown Vancouver. And so it's been very stabilizing. I would highly recommend it to anybody getting into self-employment. So you're motivated to pay your mortgage. And one thing leads to another. You're making as much in real estate as you are in the tailoring business. So it's good that way. I would have a work live studio. I don't get to drive to work, not yet, but I'm working on that. It would be a little bit of a break. Other than that, I used to first thing in the morning would, get my exercise and come back and do my dailies and make breakfast, go upstairs and do some cutting for a client. And I would make a garment for fitting, which is, for me, it's very simple. I'm not really a custom tailor. I would just make a garment for a fitting and just do a basic stitch on it. So I could get an idea of what I would have to do to change the pattern to perfect it for a client. I did that for many years. But recently in the last year, I've been working on this philosophy of fit course, which is like a 34-day course, given maybe an hour a day. And it's full of videos and text and bolden text for lazy readers. And my market focus is... I think very unique because a lot of people, there's a market of people that have to be self-employed for one reason or another or like to be self-employed. And most of the courses I see are not so much on self-employment, but they're self-improvement. So I'm getting excited about starting to market this, finish the course with some videos. And actually my second course will be, my smaller course will be the spearhead for a course in tailoring design. It's going to be called The Grooming Game. And it's about grooming your mind and body for success. And of course that includes defining what success is, but it's a more entertaining course and it's my foray of knowledge going back to the evolution of the eyes even, and to the evolution of the consciousness through our ancestors looking in still waters, developing that other half of the brain. So to bring us up above the animals. And so it's basically it's about brain use and developing good habits and using the eyes. Spinoza was a Dutch lens grinder he did his 10,000 hours grinding lenses and listening to his clients who he allowed to see. So he developed a metaphor about seeing that I thought was pretty profound. And of course, it was taken up by the founding fathers on the Constitution as well. Spinoza's, I don't know exactly what part of it was, but it was about seeing awareness and freedom. And so this is a I think a fascinating part of the entry level course, the grooming game, is to develop brain use. And people do it intuitively when they take on challenges. And I noticed a lot of problems with my clients that weren't listening to reason, and yet they were very reasonable people. And so, you know, it's a bit of a creative process, too creative process for a lot of guys. But I like to support them on dressing dangerously, because it's beyond reason, and it can be exciting for social interactions. And yeah, it's an urban adventure. It used to be, and you know, everyone has different belief systems. I think the predominant one that people live by in our very tolerant society is that it's only what's inside that counts. And that's good to think that, but it's also good to critical think, because if that turns into a belief, then you don't benefit from the creativity of turning the inside outside, like you did by building your podcast. You know, you're going outside of your boundaries. And dressing is very much that way. You go outside of their boundaries and you learn to dress not for respect, but to respect. So it makes each day a little bit different, more interesting. You certainly meet a lot more people. And, you know, with my community service card, it's really not, it's something to pass out to people. I have a community service card that shows what Vancouver would be like with a form of transit from Nassau called SkyTran. And I like it and people like it. It's empowering, it's optimistic, and it's probably as pervasive in transit as the cell phone was in communication. I personally believe that SkyTran will replace the automobile 50% for commuting long distances.
Steve, I hate to cut you short. I'm kind of running a little bit up. Yeah, so I want to get to these questions to make sure that we're focused on the career library a little bit. So as a tailor, what kind of skills do you have to be a good one? What kind of, you know, let's say somebody's out there and they're thinking about going into this particular line of work. What kind of, what would you tell people that they need to have, like the tangibles to make it?
Well, they only have to be able to communicate with a tailor. It's sewing for basic fitting, sewing and cutting is actually extracurricular from my course. For my course, you only need to have motivation, a little bit of self-esteem that you can grow into more self-esteem, more motivation, more income. You need to be a self-starter. And you need to look in the mirror 2 or 3 times a day and to just check in. But the course is pretty much all there. If they want to learn to sew, that's a bonus. But they just need to learn to work with a tailor or alterationist and to develop some foolproof designer measurements, which is my job, is to see that they're taking the proper measurements. And that is not always easy. There's some big players out there that are franchised. They still have problems taking measurements, and because they're not training anybody. So my interest is to train people to work for themselves, and if they want to sell out and work for a company, they can do that too. But I think working this way is I can train more people. And I only need to train 20 to 30 a month to actually start to work with venture capital to manufacture in the States. And to have growth.
Now, what are some educational or certifications that someone needs to become a tailor? Is there any at all, or what would you recommend there?
It's highly unregulated, but I do know one fellow, actually a couple of fellows, that will actually take control of the whole process from cutting to fitting. And there, you're looking at about, when you have lots of experience, it's still about 30 to 40 hours to make a suit, to cut and make a suit and have fittings. And they're getting about $5,000 US to make a suit. And that's good too, but that takes a real special talent. And, you know, a young person that likes to sew and they don't want to talk, they don't really want to interface with their customers as much as the customers would like, but that's fine. You know, it just takes a certain craftable talent, and they would probably go to Savile Row and wait on a list until there's time, but or find another tailor that's actually making garments. And they're not very few of them actually doing that. But it's quite feasible to set up a school if I get enough students. It's just very menial work.
And where can people find you again? You talked about your courses, but do you have a website or social medias or anything like that?
The course is not exactly up yet, but my main site is SamsonWardrobes.com. And
SamsonWardrobes.com. We'll make sure to link to it too, guys. Do you have your in social media everything up at your website too?
On YouTube, I have 29 videos under Steve Sampson Suitmaker. So that's probably the most entertaining of, if anybody wants to get a grasp of the work I do.
That'd be great.
My business, in a nutshell, we're anti-wrinkles. If a garment wrinkles, any kind of wrinkle or warble, that's because it doesn't fit or the customer's put on weight. So that's the sanctity of the individual that tailors are against. And that's what makes it so much easier for a student to make a contact. And we have lots of things that they can say to garnish a smile and a business card from them. So yes, YouTube, Steve Sampson Suitmaker. And please subscribe.
Awesome. Absolutely. So we did have a couple of questions that came in. One of them that came in was, do you have to be a good designer to be a tailor?
Not really. No, it's more of a service. If you're making shirts and coordinating trims and that, that's a bonus if you can develop a knack to do that. But most of the design of a suit is classic and traditional. It's static. The seams are pretty much set. There are a variety of different seam sets, but that they have used in the military in the past. But most guys aren't interested in fashion. When they're making a big investment, they want something solid in their wardrobe. You're really completing your wardrobe when you get one suit. Because the same way a tailor completes a flat piece of cloth to a perfect shape, a man's completing his wardrobe by getting a tailored suit, usually a three-piece or four-piece suit with two pair of pants. That's in the old world, the second pair of pants doubled the life of the suit because the pants are the first things to wear out, right? even if they fit well. So that's why they had four buttons on a cuff, because it would mean a four-piece suit with a vest and extra pant. So you're completing, man is completing his wardrobe when he gets a proper fitting suit. I think it's still a fine ritual that's really not taken significantly because we're in such a material society. But in the old world, the father would bring his son into the tailor shop, and there would be some rapport there, some talk of being a man, having strength, being competent, you know, becoming the kind of man he's always wanted to be, you know, like the old adage, clothing makes the man. So if you're attractive, however you're attractive, visually, audibly, kinesthetically, you attract people, right? Otherwise, you're just a ghost. You go through life as a ghost. So thank you very much for having me on, Zach.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And guys, thank you guys so much for your questions. They've been great. Until then, this is another career episode of the Zap Ballinger Show. Have a great day.
Thank you.